It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
What are players doing in the offseason to prepare for next year? Where are they going on vacation? Where is their offseason home? What parts of their game are they working on the most? What's their favorite offseason activity away from hockey? Find all that out and more on the latest episode of Catching Up with the CUDA. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda goaltender Zach Sachenko. Sazi, how's the summer treating you?
Hey, good to see you, Noli. It's going well. I mean, it was obviously a long time since I've been back in Edmonton. I think I was down in the States for, you know, a good 6-7 months. So it was nice to get back, see some friends, see some family, and just get back to home base here.
I was talking to Kyle Topping the other day just about getting back up to Canada, dealing with the quarantine. He actually visited his brother who lives in the States for a couple of weeks before he made his way back up home. How was your situation dealing with getting over the border, dealing with the quarantine situation? What was your process?
Yeah, it was a pretty funny story, actually. So we were, me and Hobbsy and Greg's obviously lived together this year. So we had a lot of good laughs, a lot of good times together. So when we were trying to decide how to come back, Canada had a huge strict protocol on coming back over the border. And if you were flying in, you had to stay in a hotel quarantine. And we were in the bubble all year, so we were kind of over the whole hotel quarantine and stuff. So me and Hobbsy made the decision that we were going to rent a U-Haul, grab a U-Haul, and then made the 26-hour journey back from San Jose in our U-Haul. So it was a pretty fun haul, but it was long days for sure.
So who got dropped off first? Did you drop off Hobbs or who?
So we basically loaded it up the night before, left it at the rink, and then dropped off our rental vehicles with the guy that hooked us up this year, and then made our trek back. So we went through Tahoe, went through, you know, Nevada, up through, I don't even know where. We made our way through Montana, then we got up at the border. The border was pretty seamless. A couple COVID tests later, a couple questions, we were through the border. Went up to Lethbridge. My girlfriend picked me up in Lethbridge. I went up to Edmonton. Hobbsy kept the U-Haul and continued his trek back to Regina. So like I said, it was long days, but it was a lot of fun in that U-Haul as well.
That's just putting the stamp on the season and what a season it was, the year that it's been.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the cherry on top. It was just, I never could imagine, you know, renting a U-Haul, a 10-foot truck and making the trek back. But, you know, luckily for us, we didn't have to hotel quarantine, and I was able to get back, see my family about as quickly as I could.
It seems like it is a no-brainer for you to have Greg's and Hobbs as your roommates. You three play junior together with the Moose Jaw Warriors. Is it weird to just think that you guys are all still together now at the professional level within the same organization? Is it still kind of an awesome experience to be with those guys?
Yeah, I think it's interesting for sure. I mean, it's obviously pretty rare that does happen. You know, when we were in Moose Jaw, me and Jaden were really tight. So our billets hung out all the time. So I was at his house quite a bit. And, you know, just the fact that we were all able to link up again with Greg's here in San Jose. And even last year we had another Moose Jaw guy, Tristan Langan, who was there too. So it was pretty funny to see it come full circle in the pro ranks. But no, like I said, we've always had a lot of laughs in the apartment, and you know, it's been a good ride with those guys.
You're originally from the Calgary area, but you spend your off season now full time in Edmonton. Your girlfriend is from there. You mentioned off air before we started this that you have your trainer there as well. So you found some symmetry in Edmonton. It's become somewhat of your off season home. Describe to us where you're living, what life is like in the off season in Edmonton. Where's your trainer at? What's going into all of that?
Yeah. So like I said, I went to school here about 4 or 5 years ago now. You know, when I left school early to go play with the Barracuda there and sign that first deal, I kind of kept all my ties here. Obviously, my whole extended family's here. Both my parents aren't here, but all grandparents, cousins are all in Edmonton. So Edmonton's always kind of had a homey feel to me just because of how much family's here. And when I came to school here, you know, obviously girlfriend was here, and then I just got comfortable with trainers, coaches and stuff. And then when I decided to kind of turn pro, I just felt that this was a place I was comfortable in. I had guys that I trusted around me, whether it was trainers, coaches, whatever the case may be. It's just, like I said, it's been a homey feel for me. And then to be close to family is obviously something I take pretty importantly now, just because of how long we're gone during the year. So a normal day, you know, there's a lot of working out. I mean, I obviously took some time away when the year finished there. Like you said, it was a pretty crazy year. It was nice to get back and, you know, hang up the skates for a little bit and just relax a little bit. Like I said, I hadn't seen my family for quite some time, see some family, some friends. And then once I kind of decided to get back into it, it was, you know, talking to my trainer, who actually just got a job with the Oilers here. So he's now an assistant strength guy with the Oilers. So talked with him, he hooked me up with the program. And then just this past couple weeks here, I've been getting back on the ice with, you know, goalie coaches and players and stuff like that. So, you know, typically there's workouts 5 days a week. You know, as of right now, we're skating twice, three times a week. And then, like I said, the weather's been super, super nice here. It's been almost a little too hot for me. So it's weather's been good. There's been a lot of golf, you know, weekends at the lake, and it's been a lot of fun. So I was obviously really excited to get home, and it's always a lot of fun in the summertime here in Edmonton.
You mentioned your trainer at the University of Alberta, Joel Jackson, I believe is his name. He got there
exactly, yeah,
to the National Hockey League. So he's now working as an assistant strength coach with the Oilers, but are you still working with him, or is he now taking over full-time with the big club?
Yeah, so I think he's transitioning this summer into the Oilers. So he's down at Rogers Place now. He was able to kind of hook me up with the program and get me the stuff that I needed for the summer. And like I said, I've been working under him for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years now. So it was kind of an easy transition. I don't see him as much now just because he is at Rogers working with their prospects and taking care of them. But, you know, he's a guy I've relied upon a lot in the past couple summers. And, you know, it was obviously pretty cool to see him make the jump to show and, you know, finally get that recognition he finally deserved.
When you think about the goaltending position, at least I think of it as such a specialized position, and it's almost, it's in its own world away from the game in a sense. So when thinking about training, off-season training, what type of things are you doing maybe differently than what a forward or defenseman would be doing?
Yeah. So that's the other thing too, is just because, you know, like you said, the position is so unique and it's not exactly, you know, as important to be, you know, pounding weights, or I'm sure Potsy and Cello will disagree with me on that one, but it's a lot about mobility and just keeping the body fresh, just so you are able to make it through the whole year without, you know, getting as many injuries as guys have seen, right? So we've got a great resource down in San Jose with Adam Francilia, who helps us out. Obviously, it was a little bit tougher this year just because of the bubble, and we weren't able to see him as much as we could, but he's been great with, you know, giving us, me, Corns, Melly, whatever the case may be, just kind of a little program and Dropbox videos so that we are able to just, you know, not worry about the weight aspect as much. And we're more so worried about the mobility and the strength aspects that doesn't necessarily involve weight training and stuff like that. So he's been great. I obviously started working when I came down to the organization, and that's just been something I've, you know, kind of kept building on and growing. He's me and Navi like to joke around, he's a scientist. A lot of the stuff he says is pretty complex, and I don't necessarily understand it, but you can definitely see the difference it makes in your game.
Yeah, you're like, put it into layman's terms, break it down for us a little bit. Some of the verbiage is gonna,
and he's got to even break it down, like he's got to dumb it down to like a kindergarten level here. It's like, all right, Adam, I trust you here, it makes sense to me, but let's dumb it down a little bit more. Like I said, he's a wizard and he's a guru, so it's a huge resource to have down in San Jose.
I know Adam spends his full time in Kelowna. You said you're spending your off season in Edmonton, a place that you've been for the last handful of years. You also mentioned how hot it's been. There's been a heat wave in that part of the country. very unique to deal with weather at those temperatures. I know you guys go by Celsius up in Canada, but it's been north of triple digits in Fahrenheit for us folks in the States. So what has that been like spending an off-season Edmonton where the weather is as hot as it is this year? That is very rare. It does not happen very often, if ever.
No, exactly. Super rare. So a lot of the houses, especially the house that I'm in, like you don't really need air conditioning just because you get, a triple digit once or twice a summer, and we were getting it for, weeks on end here. So we had, I want to say, four fans going in the house. Like it was tough to sleep. It was hot in the house, and like, I mean, it was tough. Like we weren't used to that kind of heat up here. So it was nice to, I'm actually pretty close to just like an outdoor water park. So I just take trips there, just lay under the kind of sprinkler type thing, get in the back, spray the hose. And I was basically doing anything I could. Actually, our freezer broke too. It was so hot. Our fridge just shut down. The freezer wasn't going. And like I said, us Canadians up here aren't used to that kind of heat. So it was a change for sure. But, luckily we made it through, and things are slowly getting back to normal here.
What's your favorite thing about going back home in the off season? Is there stuff that you like to do in the summer? Is there places that you have to go eat? Like, what are you most looking forward to when it hits the off season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, especially in the off season with this year, especially, it was a long time without seeing, like I said, friends and family, right? So that was the biggest thing that I wanted to do as soon as I got back, just go see grandparents, go see family, go see friends, and see those people that have meant such a big deal to me in my lifetime. So go see them. And then there's a lot of golf here too. I enjoy golfing. I know it's nothing like some of the courses down in California, but I've always enjoyed golfing. So spend some time on the course, and then usually weekends, it's whether it's spending time with family camping or going out to lake with some cousins. So I've always enjoyed doing that. And like I said, we haven't had this kind of heat in a while, so it's more so been finding ways to stay cool as well.
Talking about golf, I know you are a big golfer. I know a lot of the guys are big golfers. Almost kind of goes with the territory when it comes to hockey. You've got to also golf as well. How is your game? And tell us about your favorite course. Where is a course that you like to play a lot during the offseason?
Yeah, so in the off season, there's a course just outside of Edmonton here. It's called, Cougar Creek, I think is what it's called. So that's a go-to course. I always try and hit that one up once or twice a summer just because of how nice it is. I took a golf trip down just outside of Calgary last summer to Canmore. There's beautiful courses down there just outside of the mountains. So those are huge courses. I know it's nothing like some of the stuff we see in California. I know me and Hobbsy went to Carmel this year, golfed right by the ocean. So that was a pretty cool one. But like I said, when it comes to golf, it's more so just getting out with buddies or family and just, having a good time, have a little competitive juices flowing on the course, and just enjoying the company.
Do you have any buddies back home that ask about life in California where you can golf 365? I know it's not, the weather's not necessarily as cold as maybe what you're dealing with. Even Edmonton, it's going to be very cold in the winter. But are they jealous the fact that you're able to play golf in December?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You'll see some of the guys, like I golfed with a few of my buddies from the Bears here with the University of Alberta a couple of weeks ago. And, they were actually spanking me on the course, and they were like, "What's going on here, Sawzzy? Like, you golf year round?" I was like, "Yeah, sometimes it's not a good thing. I mean, it's nice when, like I said, you take a break from it, get back into it, and you're able to, swing it like you haven't swung it for a while." So sometimes it's nice. Obviously, sometimes we take it for granted just because it's so nice down there. And like I said, that's one of the best things playing in California is the weather's great year round. Like you said, there's no minus 40 winters and stuff like that. We never get snow. It's nice to be able to go to the rink in the wintertime in shorts and flip flops. So that's something I obviously take for granted. And like I said, it's beautiful to be able to golf year round.
You're close to the campus U of A where you went to school for a couple of years. Do you ever think that you're going to go back and try to pick up that degree? Is there any future education that you want to continue to pursue whenever you just do decide to hang up the skates?
Yeah, so I actually finished my degree this year. So I finished in January. I finished that degree off, which was something I made a promise myself to. And when I decided to leave school early, I basically made a commitment to myself that, you made it this far. Let's not throw all the, you know, the classes and the hard work to waste here. Let's get that degree finished. So I was able to finish it up thanks to the online COVID classes, which helped me a ton. And obviously throughout this year, it'll be different because I won't be taking university classes, but I'll try and take some professional courses just to, you know, keep your mind engaged and, you know, keep yourself active while you're playing. I know there's a lot of days where you sit around and, you know, you're relaxing and it doesn't hurt to, you know, pop open the laptop, you know, read some books and, you know, kind of keep yourself engaged mentally in that aspect of things. Like you said, the years can be long, especially this year. There was a lot of, you know, unexpected turns that I had to face and us as a team. So it's, I find schooling and kind of that mental, you know, academic side to be a bit of a relief and escape from the rink. So that's something I always enjoyed doing.
So was it a fact that COVID occurred and that allowed for you to go back to school or even think, hey, I want to pursue my degree, I want to finish this up, and what a great opportunity because all the classes were online. How did that all shake out?
Yeah, so like I said, I usually came home in the summertime and I'd bang out, you know, 2-3 classes a semester. So I was able to, you know, finish up 4 classes a summer or whatever the case may be. And then during the year this year, we were able to take, you know, the classes that I needed online and basically through correspondence through my computer. So as long as I had my computer, I was able to take those classes. So it, you know, COVID didn't ruined my schooling and actually benefited me somehow. So I was pretty lucky in that aspect. And like I said, I was able to finally get that degree finished and able to hang that piece of paper on my wall now.
Were you able to participate in any sort of graduation ceremony?
Yeah. So I was actually a couple of weeks ago, my friends, well, my sister, my girlfriend and my family were able to, you know, put together I called it a COVID grad, where we were able just to walk down near campus, take some pictures, you know, get the cap and gown, throw the cap out, pop the champagne. And I was able to finally kind of get into that. I didn't get a high school grad. I was over playing juniors. So it was nice to finally get that one grad under your belt and, you know, celebrate like it was, you know, a normal year. Obviously with COVID, it was a little bit different, but it was finally nice to see that hard work finally recognized by friends and family and celebrate with those that meant the most to me.
I mean, it's incredible the fact that you continue to pursue that. I know a lot of guys, they want to finish it, but the fact that you were proactive and you did it while you were playing, a tip of the hat to you and congratulations. That's awesome that you got your degree officially. I know you're a student, not only away from the game, but I think you're a student of the game as well. You like to see guys doing it at the highest level, and we were privileged, I think, this year in the Stanley Cup final to see Vasilevskiy and Price, two of the best in the National Hockey League. Watching as a fan, watching as a fellow goaltender, what makes those two so good?
Yeah, it's like you said it best. I'm kind of a student. I love learning about the game. I think that especially goaltending, it's all mental. So any kind of you see the best of the best here. And like you said, this Stanley Cup final was you know, the best of the best. You had basically the best up and coming goalie in Vasilevskiy and the guy that's just been outstanding for the past 10 years and Price go at it toe to toe. So I was watching those games. Obviously, Montreal was a little bit outmatched, but it was cool to see those two go toe to toe. And it's funny because they're so good, but they're so good in their own ways. Like, I mean, you look at the way Price plays, it's almost nothing like Vasilevskiy. And you see the stuff that Vasilevsky's able to do. And it's just like, this guy's, he's a freak. I mean, he's athletic, he's flexible, but he's big and he's able to see the puck in situations. Like, I don't even understand how he's able to, you know, have that instinct to make that save there. And then you get a guy like Price. That's calm, cool, collected. Like you see him and you saw it all through the playoffs there, just his calm demeanor is something I've always admired from him. You know, he's on the biggest stage, you know, the pinnacle of the sport, and the guy doesn't break a sweat. You know, he's finally made it that Stanley Cup final. You hope for a different result just for him and his legacy that he's left in Montreal there. And he was, like I said, it was cool to see him at the top of the sport, just not even breaking a sweat, you know, just calm, cool, nothing's changed. And like I said, it was cool to see those two go at it.
I found myself rooting for the Canadians because of Price, I think more so than anything, because He's been at the top of the game for so long, has never captured a ring, but to see him at least in the finals was pretty special. One thing I found was pretty special last year, and it's, you just remember certain things vividly, and I'll remember this for a long time, but we just wrapped up our game in Ontario. You had just picked up a victory against the Ontario Reign. Nick Gialdini, who sits just ahead of me on the bus, he gets a text, and there's, you know, you start hearing people chatting, and Nick tells me that we're going to assign Zach Sawchenko to an NHL deal, and it became official the next day. They basically tore up your AHL contract for the remainder of the year, gave you a 2-year extension on an NHL contract. What was that like to get that news? And it had to have come somewhat out of nowhere, being the fact that there were so many goaltenders last year. You hadn't played a ton, but to have that occur, what did that mean to you? And just walk us through the whole moment.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was kind of unexpected. It's actually a funny story. So I was, like I said, we played in Ontario. I think that was, you know, we were a good two, three months into the year. I think that was my third game of the year. And it was like, there was a lot of adversity last year, I'll admit. And then to finally play that game, you play well, you're happy. We get back on the bus. We cut that 6-hour bus ride back. You know, the guys are happy. We just got a big win. And then I sit down, I get a text from my agent that's like, hey, can you give me a call right now? And I'm just like, dude, like, I just finished a game. I'm happy. I'm on the bus. Like, is it urgent? And he just texted me back right away. Yes, it's urgent. So I give him a call, and sure enough, he goes, yeah, how'd the game go? I was like, yeah, I thought it went well. And we started talking a little bit. And then he kind of comes out of the blue and says, yeah, the Sharks want to sign you. And I go, hold the phone here. Like, what are you talking about? I just played my third game of the year. Like, what are you sure they want to sign me? And he was like, yeah, I just talked with Joe. I just talked with Doug, like, you know, a contract getting sent over. We're just finalizing a few things. And he's like, do you want to sign it? I was like, well, I want to sign it. Like, this is what you dream about as a kid. Right. So you saw years of hard work, and you saw, like I said, it was almost a dream come true in the most unexpected year that you ever could imagine. Right. So, like I said, I called my agent. He talked to me about that, sent me the contract. I took a look at it. And then the first text I sent was to my dad. And I said, Dad, I'm signing in the show. Like, this is, you know, a dream come true. And he was obviously over the moon. It was hard for me to talk to him. We were going in and out of the hills of just leaving LA there. So I was losing service. I kept losing him. And then sure enough, he's blowing my phone up. Like I said, my mom, I texted my mom right away. She was actually sleeping. So she woke up the next morning to, you know, a bunch of texts. That's exactly like me, like, signing in the NHL. Like, what are you talking about? The Sharks want to sign you, Zach. You played 3 games. And I was like, I know, it's weird. I'll explain it all tomorrow. And then sure enough, I had to, you know, talk to my parents and explain it to them, and then reach out to grandparents who followed my career all the way through. And then, like I said, I got back to the rink at about 12 o'clock at night that night. Nikki printed out the contract, signed the contract. The next day I went to the rink just to get some treatment done, and the news had kind of broken out, and then all the guys were super happy. And then, like I said, the next day after I signed, I was at the rink, and then the following day I was joining the Sharks on the taxi. So it went from, you know, 0 to 100 in about 2 seconds. I mean, still to this day, I'll tell people I kind of blacked out. I didn't really hit me till about a week later. And I was like, whoa, like I said, I was driving the rink with Greggs, and now you're in the NHL locker room. You've got that NHL contract. You're on the ice with, you know, legends. Like, you're on the ice with Patty Marleau. You're on the ice with Bernsey. And like I said, it was a crazy experience. You know, I was fortunate enough to spend, you know, about 5-6 weeks on the taxi squad there, and, you know, take the plane with the guys, and a great learning experience just to see what it's like to be at that next level, just to see what it's like to be an NHL player. I was fortunate enough to be there for Patty's game when he broke that record against Vegas, which was, you know, that's forever going to be a moment in NHL history. You know, that's some of the stuff I never could imagine about heading into this year. And throughout all the adversity that did happen this year, like you said, you weren't playing a lot of games. You know, there was obviously a long year being away from family for so long, obviously difficult not getting into games, not getting into lineups. Then just to have that kind of come full circle when that deal does get presented with you, and then you are able to, you know, continue out your dream of playing, and you get another opportunity with your organization. It was pretty surreal. And like I said, it took me a while to, you know, fully appreciate it. But like I said, it was, a dream come true, and it was right back to work just to try and make that dream a reality now. And now you have the NHL contract, you have that opportunity. Now it's just a matter of, you know, playing your first game, you know, committing to getting on the roster, whatever the case may be. So it was a pretty cool moment for sure.
I mean, just hearing you explain that, I mean, it gives me chills, because that's really, I think, what makes sports so magical is the human element of it, right? The right. trials and tribulation. I mean, you're going through a season where you're frustrated and you're probably feeling down and discouraged, and all of a sudden it kind of makes it all worth it when you found out about that news.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. So I know there was definitely conversations with my parents. I was like, I'm frustrated right now. I don't know what to do. And they just basically said, you know, like, stick with it, have a good attitude, show up at the rink. And then you kind of take a step back and you're like, yeah, it sucks. But at the end of the day, you're still living in California. You're 22 years old playing professional hockey for a living. And you kind of say that out loud and you're like, yeah, you're right. That's not a whole lot to complain about. Yeah, it obviously could have been a little bit better. You expect things have gone differently, but at the end of the day, it all makes it worthwhile when you get that phone call and you finally get that opportunity that you've been dreaming about since you were a little kid.
I'm sure it was a little bit tough to see a fellow teammate and a buddy go the other day, with Yosef Kojonash being included in that trade with the Arizona Coyotes. But with every departure, maybe it opens up opportunity. There was a logjam at the goaltender position last year. There's still opportunity for a lot to change over the next, you know, a little bit of time leading into the season. But looking at the upcoming season, maybe a chance now going into this year to continue to compete, get more games. We talked about the limited number of games you had last year, but I'm sure it's hard to see Yosef go. That being said, you have an opportunity now, at least at the AHL level, to really compete for a full-time role.
Exactly. Like you said, like, obviously Corns and Peppa was a great mentor to me. Like, I met him the first year when I came up in the second half of the year, and, you know, I was able to see what makes him successful. And still to this day, I'll never forget it. When I signed that deal and showed up at the Sharks locker room, he was one of the first guys that kind of brought me in and said, hey, congratulations. He gave me a big bear hug. So that kind of speaks to the kind of guy that he is. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to see him, you know, get his first win in the NHL last year. And that was a special moment, just because you know how hard he worked, you know, the time he put in the American League, you see the success he did have, and you saw why he was so successful and how, you know, seriously he takes his preparation. He takes, you know, he was a great mentor for me, and still, you know, that's why he was able to get that opportunity in Arizona. You know, he was able to, you know, make the most of his opportunity with the Sharks, and was able to, obviously, would have been nice for him to stick with the Sharks, but now he's got an opportunity there. And like you said, there's another door open. So unfortunately, you saw him sign his deal, and then a couple of days later he gets traded. So unfortunately, that's part of the business, but you know, you can be happier for him to, you know, get that extension and to see him finally play in the NHL after all the hard work and the success he had in the American League. I told Harv, I told, Sabs, I told our guys, like, he's gonna play in the show. Like, he's good, he's put in the time, like, he takes it seriously, and to finally see him play those games, like, I still remember the game he played in Vegas, the games he played in Colorado, like, he was lights out. He was the best player on the ice, and just to see him, you know, find that success in the National League level was you know, I was obviously super happy for him. And like I said, it's an unfortunate part of the business, but you know, I got nothing but great things to say about him.
Looking at next year, what makes you so the most excited about going into your third year? What gets you fired up about this upcoming season?
I think it'll be huge just to kind of have that normal feel back for a regular year. Like, I'm one of those guys that I love the fans. I love the energy in the rink. And it was tough playing in some games when there's no one in the rink. You're basically playing in practice arenas, and it'll be nice to kind of get that normal feel back. You get the regular schedule back, you get the regular travel back. And like you said, now I have the NHL contract, so there's more expectation, but you know, there's a sense of optimism too, where, you know, you have this opportunity now that now you have a legitimate chance to, you know, get called up and finally play or whatever the case may be. But it'll be nice to get back to a regular year. It'll be nice to see all the guys. I know that, like you said, it was a long year, but it'll be nice to get back to normal. I know myself included, it was weird seeing a lot of the stuff that we went through, whether it was, the infamous Texas bus trip, the COVID, the protocols, the testing, when we get shut down. Like, it'll be nice to finally get back to a somewhat normal season next year.
Great catching up with you, man. I'm happy that you're doing well. Excited to see you when the season does get underway. But enjoy the rest of your off season with your family and friends.